Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Reese, and welcome to CEO Show. We're here today with Ralph De La Torre. How are you, Ralph?
Doing well. How are you?
Thank you. And I left out the doctor, which is a pretty significant part for you. Ralph is the founder, chairman, and CEO of Steward Healthcare System. So I want to start off because right now it's 39 hospitals, about over $7 billion in revenue, over 40,000 employees, 12 million patients. But this is an organization that was founded, and you were the founder, in 2010. So that's just a dozen years. What was your original vision?
So, you know, our original vision was really putting healthcare around the patient. So we are, the people that founded it were mostly doctors who all kind of got together and said, well, we don't like the way healthcare is operating in America. It was right around when Romney and the CARE Act in Massachusetts was coming into place. It was before Obamacare. And what we decided is that the best way to treat a patient is to have an integrated system, where the hospitals, the outpatient centers, the physicians all kind of work together, not necessarily within the construct of an insurance program or an insurance company, but work together as providers to better coordinate and integrate care. I mean, since that time, it's really become known as an ACO or an integrated care network. It's got various different names now, but it was really, the vision was to better integrate care around patients. And then, two, to better use technology, not only on the care side, but on the business side to drive efficiencies and care improvements.
Okay, and that's really a very different model, maybe similar goals, but different structurally than we know of in about the 5,000 hospitals in America.
No, it is. It is. It's much more of an integrated model, much more of a fluid model. For example, we have an enterprise data warehouse which tries to capture all patient information, not only inpatient, outpatient, so that we can better predict what their needs are going to be, so we can better predict what their morbidities are going to be, and really intervene and act on those sooner rather than later.
So we're going to talk later about things like healthcare cost, about quality, how the model interacts with those. But let's start with the concept of governance. How does governance play into the whole structure and what you did?
So a lot of the governance is really physician-specific and provider-specific. So we've really relied a lot on doctors, caregivers, public health professionals that we brought inside the organization to provide the foundation for the delivery of care. So that everything from how you interact with the patients in the communities to give prevention and wellness, all the way through to how hospitals are run to make sure that we're investing what needs to be invested, but not investing in things that would just add cost without patient benefit. So it's really much more forward with caregivers than the typical organization. And even to this day, a significant portion of the C-suite, including the people that are the highest of the C-suite, are all physicians.
And so when you've such dramatic growth as you've had, talk about any specifics. Maybe there are unique practices that the board has in doing this. You mentioned, for starts, everyone's a physician.
Well, not everyone, just a large number of them, because I think it's important to have, I mean, a very well-rounded team to run this organization. You know, our board is a very eclectic board. You know, it's not only diverse ethnically, socially and racially, it's also diverse from their expertise. And so I think that our board is truly a board that has come together to give great advice and really, you know, point us in the right direction. And, you know, everybody's got a role, everybody interacts well together, and everybody keeps us on the kind of straight and narrow into what our mission is and what our mission should be. And then at the C-suite level, it's very similar. I mean, we all come at it a little bit differently. We all come at it from the benefit of the patient, but we have everybody from, you know, your typical MBAs with healthcare backgrounds to clinicians that have evolved into learning business. And, you know, I think that interaction is actually very good in keeping us to our mission and our focus.
You mentioned healthcare costs. Obviously, cost and quality outcomes are at the center of every healthcare organization. Talk about what's happening in America with cost and why you see your model as being a differentiator.
So I think that the low-hanging fruit in healthcare are the things that we're trying to get out. So it's the duplication in records. It's the duplication in testing. It's the time that patients need to take out of their life to be able to coordinate their own care. It's the lack of coordination that leads to gaps in care that leads to lower quality care. So we're trying to take all that out in our model. We're trying to get the interaction from the physicians to the hospitals to the outpatient setting all much better coordinated, much better integrated, cut out all the duplication, make sure that things aren't missed, and provide care. And I think, and I say that that's the low-hanging fruit in healthcare, because underlying healthcare costs, there are a whole host of foundational elements in how we provide and how we address healthcare as a country, both in the mindset of the populace as well as in governments, that are the hard part that are very difficult to deal with. So we're dealing with, even though what we deal with, and we say to people, everyone thinks, well, that's the hard part, and that's going to take a huge amount out of healthcare. It's difficult, but we see it as a low-hanging fruit because we can do it, and it will take a lot of cost and will improve quality in healthcare generally. But I think the next monumental step is even harder.
And what is at the core? What is the big innovation you would say that helped you have this significant growth? Because no one really that I know in America has had such growth in healthcare as you've had right now.
You know, it's really a physician governance, minority, ethnically focused company. I mean, there's two things about our company. The majority of our ownership are physicians, and the majority of our ownership is Hispanic, Latino, myself included. So it's we're a very focused company with those two missions kind of intertwined. So I think that that has given us opportunity to see things a little differently. And being a private company, you know, you get the liberties to do what's right. Sometimes the investors don't like that, and sometimes they do. But at the end of the day, we do what's right. And you know, my general philosophy is that if you do what's right and you provide value, you get value out. And I think that where in many healthcare situations, people try to chase the rabbit, the latest loophole, the latest money-making capability, the latest, you know, short-term opportunity. And, you know, if they're successful, they make a lot of money and they get out before the whole thing blows up. If they're not, they get caught up in the blow-up. But either way, it's a gimmick. They're not providing value. You know, I believe that good old-fashioned, do it right, provide value. Sometimes you get hurt. Sometimes you do great. But in the long run, you'll be just fine.
Okay. One question before the break, which is CEOs, CEO audience. CEOs are always concerned about the cost of healthcare and the very well-being of healthcare, which is more forefront than it's ever been. What advice do you have to the standard CEO, Fortune 500 CEO?
So, look, I think to address your costs, you can do it in the short term one way, which is to really look at the way, if you're a large enough company, especially the way that you contract for healthcare, looking at things like your pharmaceutical costs, looking at things that how you provide sometimes on-site patient clinics, looking at things that how your work staff is kept healthy, not just the opportunity that they have when they get sick. So you have to take a holistic view, not just what are my rates, how do I get them lower, but a holistic view and a long-term view of how to keep your healthcare costs down. So that's one. And, you know, at the end of the day, a much longer conversation, which I'm sure we'll have later, you know, America has fundamental problems the way it delivers healthcare. But they're really centered around a couple of things. One is the cost of the individual items within healthcare, which is, you know, the caregivers, the supplies, the pharmaceuticals, those costs, and also the entitlement or the approach that America has in healthcare, which is a very not really end of life, but let's say back weighted way to address healthcare rather than preventive or wellness and the expectations that come with it. So I think that they can do in the short term, these CEOs can really address their immediate healthcare costs by providing a more holistic view of keeping their employees hopefully healthier, preventative medicine, putting in the programs, be they on-site at work, early intervention with primary care, to lower their overall healthcare costs of the high ticket items. But in the long run, you know, as an American CEO in a company based in America, you need to start really having a voice and a drive within the construct of how we provide healthcare as a country so that it doesn't continue to spiral out of control.
Okay, we're about to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about quality and the physician's role in driving everything. Back in a few.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights. And you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Both my legs were amputated due to an IED. It's when you start to try to get back into, like, an everyday life. I absolutely felt like I lost my purpose. There must be something more. When DAV came into my life, they gave me a new mission. I could still be a productive member of society, could still support a family.
The DAV gave him that sense of structure and purpose again to get his life back together.
Visit DAV.org to learn more about our mission.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hi, welcome back. This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, where we speak with the CEOs who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're here today with Dr. Ralph De La Torre, who is the chairman, CEO, and also founder of Steward Healthcare Systems. And we've spoken about how dramatically it's grown to 39 hospitals in just a dozen years. But let's talk about the concept of quality. What is the challenge with quality in American healthcare, and what are you specifically doing?
So healthcare has a huge challenge, which is that it's difficult to measure quality. Okay, so for example, let's say you're a diabetic. The real measure of quality is, do you get sick from your diabetes? Do you get heart disease from your diabetes? Do you get problems with your legs from your diabetes? Do you get problems with your kidneys? The issue is that it takes decades for those problems to truly develop. So what we use in healthcare are leading indicators. For example, how well your blood sugar is controlled, something called a hemoglobin A1C that's measured. So that tells us, well, you know what? This is controlled, the diabetes is controlled, therefore we believe this in the future to lead to an improved quality, right? But that time lag between knowing the real quality outcome that we have measured and the immediate state of the patient provides a very difficult way of, you know, investing in quality. Okay, so why? Well, let's take at the typical employer. Okay, let's say an employer has a typical employee that's with them 7 years, 8 years. But yet, they're making investments along diabetes, along nutrition, along whatever it might be, that really don't play out for another 15 to 20 years. It's a very difficult value proposition to make for employers the way that the market is driven for cost. So quality is a long-term investment, but investment that we make as employers is very different. It tends to be very short-term. So there is a disconnect between those two models from an investment in quality perspective, true quality outcomes, but it also makes it hard to track and decide what interventions actually are beneficial. We think that these are beneficial, but we don't know for a fact. We haven't played these out. And hemoglobin A1C and diabetes might be an example where we do know a little more, but a lot of the things that we look at quality, we're assuming that by controlling this leading indicator, 10, 20, 15 years down the road, you're going to have a beneficial outcome. Those aren't as completely tied out as we physicians would like to be. I mean, medicine is not a pure science yet. There's still a lot of art to it. And we just that's part of the issues that we have with coming to grips with quality, quality drivers, quality metrics, and how we sell that to the consumer or the person's paying the bill of why they need to invest in it.
And that's really a fascinating answer. Thank you. What I am curious about is the physician's role. So I was recently interviewing Dr. Jim Adair from American Medical Association. So they have, I think, about 275,000 physicians. You are the largest physician-led, privately held organization. What he said to me is, he said, Robert, the real problem is physicians are stuck spending too much time on administration. Talk about what your thoughts are on that concept.
So, look, do I think that's a problem? Absolutely. Yeah, I think that the way that we've unfolded in medicine, where the extremes of the administrative burdens placed on physicians, you know, a lot of the fear of malpractice that's faced on physicians, really kind of changes the way that they've started practicing medicine. What needs to be documented, how it's documented, what specific items need to be documented, you know, how the orders are placed, how they're not done, the notes that need to be written, how you file a pre-authorization for an insurance company who then comes back and says, no, this was missing, and then they have to file it again, and then it gets denied, and then they have to come back, and the case manager comes up to them and says, okay, we need you to fill in the record in order to be able to bill. So there's all these administrative games that get played that are driving physicians, you know, crazy. And, you know, I think that from that perspective, you know, you're right and he's right. Now, I don't know if it's the biggest problem facing American medicine. It's a problem. I think there's enough problems to go around. I don't know if there's one biggest problem. I just say there's a fair amount of problems.
So let's talk about what is the biggest problem that should be solved and what you would envision the future of healthcare in America as being, and then what stewards' role will be in that.
So, you know, I think the biggest problem is kind of what I said, an underlying cost structure on top of a belief that healthcare is an end state entitlement. And, you know, you see this really in the United States. So there is no real appreciation of the individual that, hey, what I do now, how I treat my body now, how I do it is going to impact me 20 years down the line. But in 20 years down the line, you almost feel victimized if your care is not perfect without understanding, well, you know what? You were 40 pounds overweight, you chain smoked, and you drank like a fish with rabies. You know, that is part of the reason you're sick. And now, you know, yes, we as Americans are trying to get you healthy, but should we be bearing, you know, all of the cost and really emotional baggage of you not taking care of yourself? And I'm not making a judgment that we should. No, believe me. I believe that every patient, every person in the United States, every person who comes to any hospital should get care, period. So I believe in that. But I'm just saying there needs to be Americans need to begin understanding that they're responsible. They're responsible for their care and what they're doing. And then we need to start hammering the underlying cost structures a little bit, right? So a little bit is the administration. A little bit is the reimbursement schemes. A little bit is, you know, how we pay for medicine, how we incentivize, you know, caregivers. So I think that needs to change. And, you know, an integrated model begins doing that because, you know, we weave a responsibility into the employers of wellness and prevention, and some you can sell and some you just can't. You know, smoking cessation is a very short-term benefit. You know, if you're telling that, you know, an employer that you want gym memberships and nutrition classes for all their employees because it's going to keep them from developing diabetes in 30 years, they look at you like you have two heads, for the most part, not all. So I think that as an integrated provider, you get to have, you know, those conversations, and you can have physicians in the background mapping the strategies that are beneficial. Also, the way that we're structured, the relationship is not between the insurance company and us or the employer and us. It's between the patient and us. And why is that important? Well, that's really important because if a patient changes their job every 7 or 8 years, and we are selling as a community, as a group of physicians, an engagement with the patient that is going to keep them healthy over 20, 30 years, then it doesn't matter to us, because we go at risk for their health. It doesn't matter to us whether they change employers or change insurance plans or go in and out of Medicare, you know, disability, go in and out of Medicare. It doesn't matter. That patient is ours. So we as a group are making the long-term investment, even if sometimes there isn't the immediate payoff for us, because we know in the long run it will be.
And there you have it. Ralph, a real pleasure speaking with you, and much congratulations for your great work.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
In the 1800s, there were 160 spas set up in Europe to dispense fresh liquid whey. The sick would recover their health and the aged would become rejuvenated. There's only one whey protein powder on the market that can generate and surpass the results seen in the whey spas in Europe. But first, let me tell you the story of 90-year-old Mary, who was semi-bedridden and in hospice care. Mary had been consuming only a pea protein and pasteurized milk drink. Then Mary was put on to Green Meadow Whey mixed with raw milk. She was given 2 to 3 whey drinks per day. On the very first day, Mary was up and came into the kitchen and made chicken soup. She was on her feet for many hours. 3 days later, Mary had gained 2.5 pounds of healthy weight. Green Meadow Whey is health-giving to both young and old. Green Meadow Whey is guaranteed to make you feel better, stronger, reduce your inflammation, and eliminate virtually all toxins from your body without feeling sick. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world, and that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Hello,
America. I'm Robert Reese, and welcome to CEO Show. We're here today with Jordan Racke. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. And Jordan is the CEO of Key Factor, which is a cybersecurity company. So let's talk with everyone. What is Key Factor, and how are you different in a very crowded cybersecurity space?
Yeah, sure, Robert. So Key Factor, we're a machine identity management company. So what that means is we focus on helping enterprises and people that manufacture IoT devices secure and provide credentials to secure their devices. So there's a lot of investments already in protecting humans with usernames and passwords and things of that nature. We're laser focused on securing machines and devices that are within an enterprise and that are coming off assembly lines that are in use every day across the world.
So that's interesting. So you have a very focused angle. What exactly do you do with machines, and how do you secure them?
Well, I mean, first of all, you have to know where they all are in your enterprise. So we work with a lot of organizations that have kind of rogue devices that are not connected back to the mothership, if you will. And, you know, that leaves a lot of exposure points, especially kind of mid-post-pandemic, you know, with people working remotely. The moat is not around a firewall anymore. Every device that's out in the world, hybrid, you know, cloud-based, you know, those are exposure points that can be taken down by bad actors. And so what we do is we help secure all those endpoint devices, help secure really the entire enterprise to make sure that those, you know, credentials and the information inside of the systems can't be compromised.
And when you talk about enterprises, you know, I'm speaking with enterprise CEOs almost every day, a couple times a week at least. They're definitely knowing that they're being attacked at all times. Everyone understands that. What is it that CEOs of major enterprises should be thinking about in terms of cybersecurity?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, what they need to be thinking about is the fact that it really takes only one bad situation for things to go really, really bad. If you think about the Equifax breach that happened many years ago, you know, there's a Department of Defense write-up that's about 65 pages long, and it mentions certificate and in it over 70 times and talks about the importance of certificate management and protecting your information. Essentially, what happened at Equifax was there was this island infrastructure that wasn't connected back to the motherland, if you will, and bad actors were penetrating it and extracting information. And because it had an expired cert, it wasn't able to communicate back that there was actually people mining that information that shouldn't be in there. So I guess my message is it only takes one mistake for catastrophic situation to happen to your business. And that's what's really, I think, accelerated our growth in the market is the realization that you have to build a business on the premise of trust. And you have to have, you know, a zero trust environment. And these are really critical elements to that entire, you know, process for a company.
What's really interesting, Jordan, is that you are laser focused on the one area of certification. And a lot of people go in different areas. Give an example of applying, let's say, like right now, banking is constantly being threatened. So give an example maybe of a bank you're working with and the challenge they had, what you had to work with them. And if it's too proprietary, you don't need to mention the name. If you want to promote them, you're welcome to.
Well, Robert, I know you're based in the Northeast. I'll tell you, a lot of very large Northeastern banks are customers of ours. And yeah, I mean, they understand the utmost importance to have a trusting environment for their customers. Because, you know, one breach or a large system-wide outage, not only hits them at the bottom line in that moment, but has residual impact. And so, yeah, we work a lot in the financial sector. We work a lot in the technology, the retail, but really we have a horizontal offering because every enterprise, that's out there that has, you know, devices in the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, needs to make sure that they have security strategy around all those endpoints, because again, those could be exposure access points for bad actors.
Okay, so we're going to shift over to leadership, but one final question.
All right.
If you were talking with an enterprise CEO right now, and you could just say, here's the one thing you need to know, what is the one thing you would tell them?
I mean, well, I mentioned it earlier, but build your business on the basis of trust. You know, customers demand partners and organizations to be fully secure, and make sure that you're making the proper investments. Give the CISO a seat at the table. There's a lot of articles in the Wall Street Journal, Gartner, you know, et cetera, that really speak about when the pandemic hit, it elevated CISOs. CISOs historically maybe sat under the CIO or sometimes the CTO. Not anymore. You know, today CISOs are sitting right next to the CEO and supporting them to make sure that they are putting in place the proper, you know, security requirements for their enterprise. So I would just say don't take some of it for granted, and don't wait until, you know, after something happens to act, make sure that the investments are happening. And we're seeing that, by the way. We're seeing a great kind of inbound interest in what we do from large enterprises. And I think it's thanks to the CEOs providing budgets for CISOs and CIOs and the like. So I think it's all happening right now, which is great.
Okay, so good advice. Let's focus over to the leadership. So you were not a CEO. You were really, you know, an operational sales executive. How does one move from there over to CEO?
Sure. So I've been fortunate enough to work with Insight Partners for over 6 years now. They're a VC and PE firm based out of New York City. This is my third company where they've owned majority stake. The first one of which I had raised funding as the CRO there to do that funding exercise. But, you know, for me, I think, you know, to get into this position, it took a lot of trust and results that happened over those years, as well as my track record prior. But I think it's also just speaks to the importance of Insight knowing what they had in Key Factor. Key Factor, prior to me, which has been around for almost 20 years and had multiple different iterations of its business from a consulting firm to now a software organization. But Key Factor, you know, 3.5 years ago when I joined, had a great product, had great product market fit, and really just needed to complement that with a strong execution arm from a go-to-market and distribution channel side. So it took a visionary chairman, who is our chairman, Mike Triplett from Insight, to consider me for the role, and me partnering with the founders and the rest of the business and coming in and looking at how can we scale a go-to-market team that can complement what's already a great product side of the house. And we've been fortunate to have a pretty, you know, pretty good success story, you know, over the past 3.5 years, which is great.
What do you see as the future for Key Factor based on?
I mean, when people ask me, you know, what are we focused on? I mean, we're focused on health. We're focused on building a healthy business, healthy numbers, healthy and happy employees, healthy metrics, happy customers. You know, because with us, where we're at in our growth phase, you know, we want to have a lot of options for the future. And when you're healthy, you're attractive. When you're attractive, you've got options. So we really just want to have a very healthy ecosystem for our employees, our customers, our business, our partner economy. And we're pretty heads down right now. So we're focused on that, and we're focused on executing. There's still a whole lot of low hanging fruit. I mean, we believe that our market's 95% untapped right now. So there's just all this blue ocean out there that we're pretty focused on bringing into our business.
We're about to take a commercial break. When we come back with Jordan Racky, we're going to find out more about sales, where he was a superstar, and secrets to sales. Back in a few.
Are you from California, Illinois, New York, Georgia, or any of the other 39 states that charge state income tax? Does your state claim you owe them any amount of back taxes? Or have you not filed in years? Is your heart pounding because you know they're wrong, or you just don't have the money? Don't fight the state income tax board alone. The Tax Doctor is here to help you. The state is much more aggressive than the IRS in collecting taxes. They have the power to take your home, your car, your driver's
cars and business licenses, even garnish your wages, freeze your bank accounts, and go after your spouse. Solve all your income tax problems permanently and keep more of your hard-earned money. Make this 100% guaranteed risk-free call right now.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Would you like to host your own radio program or podcast? Park City Productions 06604 is a Bridgeport, Connecticut-based radio broadcast solutions company. Follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's Park City Productions 06604. Call us at 203-522-8801.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker or whether you're a school teacher or whether you're a scientist or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to GCNTaxCut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. GCNTaxCut.com, GCNTaxCut.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, this is Robert Reese back on the CEO Show, where we interview the CEOs who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're talking with Jordan Rackey, who is the CEO of KeyFactor, a leading cybersecurity company focusing on enterprises. So before you became CEO, you were in sales. Talk about the lessons you learned there and how they apply to being CEO.
Yeah, I think, a couple things. First of all, I learned how important it was to be able to influence people and be able to influence them when you didn't necessarily have authority to directly manage them. Because you've got to influence your customers, your prospects, you've got to build business cases, you've got to galvanize a team around you in a team selling motion. And even though I'm the CEO and sure, on an org chart, it says I'm at the top, it's not going to last too long if I just direct everyone on what to do. So, having the ability and learning the nuances of influencing, I think has been really critical. On top of that, I think, something that I used to kind of implement and from a sales standpoint and manage my sales team on was the concept of speeding tickets over parking tickets. And what I mean by that is I'd much rather have a team that's respectfully assertive, moving fast, getting things done, and being asked and told to slow down than kind of sitting on their butt and being told to get off their rear end. So, I think, the combination of learning how to influence people when you're not necessarily in charge, combined with the proactive effort that it takes to be successful in sales, has been a winning formula as it relates to sitting in the CEO seat.
And let's talk about the customer experience. While you're in the process, how do you engage people? What are you trying to do and get your people to do?
Can you ask that question again?
The answer is do your homework, ask the right questions during the discovery phase, take the time to truly understand.
My
relationships with customers. Okay.
How you forge the relationship with the customer? It's about making the sale, but you really have to get in there and understand the challenge.
Yeah, I can talk about that. All right, let's ask the question.
Okay, so let's talk about the whole customer experience.
Sure.
And what the keys are for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the most important things, and this comes back to my sales experience and what I always try to teach my sales teams is, a lot of salespeople will sell to the kind of contract signature, and they'll use that as the climatic event or the peak of kind of the cycle. But really the customer doesn't care about that. They care about getting to steady state. They care about getting value out of your product. So I think what's really important with the customer is that even in the sales cycle, you're not working towards just a contract. You're working towards the vision of what we're selling and what we're talking about. And then when you work backwards, only at that point is the contract and getting that done just one piece of that overall journey. So I think you've got to start there. You've got to start at the end and where the vision of where we're going together is. And if you do that, you're setting the right tone out the gate. And then, developing the relationship throughout is critical, and just maintaining kind of a good touch point and making sure they're happy after you were to pass them on to the customer side is something also really important from the sales standpoint.
And how about the culture? What are your insights on building a really powerful culture?
Well, when I came to Key Factor, I was really fortunate to inherit, you know, just a fantastic business. I'm from Atlanta, and Key Factor was actually originated out of Cleveland, Ohio, which is still the headquarters of the business. And I never really worked with Midwesterners before, and I quickly learned that Midwesterners are genuinely nice, whereas I think Southerners were a little more passive aggressively nice. So that's been a great thing that I picked up on when I joined the business. So a great culture was already in place. What I did is I focused on kind of distilling down and seeing the DNA of the business and as we grow and thinking about how we could expressly define, you know, our company core values, our mission, our vision. We created a initiative called the Diverse Commitment, which is all around. It's an acronym which stands for Diversity Internally Valued, Expansive Recruiting, and Societal Education. So it's this whole encompassing strategy on how we drive diversity, not only in our business, but in the communities in which we live, which is a really important thing for us as a company to do. So you bring all that together, you know, I really think, you know, culture and people, investing in your people is really a force multiplier as you think about the growth of an organization. So it's a really important element that people shouldn't focus in on.
Yeah, it's clear you're really passionate about the culture there. Was there ever a challenge that you had to face in business that you overcame and you learned something from that?
I mean, there's been a lot of challenges and headwinds over the past 3 years, both externally for everyone that I'm sure you're all aware of, as well as when I first joined the organization. I had joined it, and I had quickly realized when meeting with our finance team that the business had overhired, and it had hired against numbers that it was expecting to be able to hit, and it wasn't hitting. And so first time on the job, first time CEO, you know, 3 months in, I'm sitting there with my CFO, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, you know, we're going to have to, you know, eliminate some of the resources we have for the greater good of the future of the organization. So I had to go through that, and it was, put me right in the fire. First time CEO, having to do a little bit of a riff, and it was an unfortunate time, but it was a good learning exercise, I think, not only for myself, but for those that are in the business even today, of the importance of being able to, hire on schedule, hit numbers, and be able to forecast out. Because I always tell our team the difference in a high-growth business and a hyper-growth is a hyper-growth business is so sure of their repeatability in their motion of growth that they have the luxury to hire people ahead of schedule. They have the ability to hire ahead of bookings because they know, because how strong their forecasting accuracy is as a company with all the leading indicators, where they're going to be in the future. And so, you know, that was a learning exercise, I think, for everyone. We got into this hyper-growth mode. I think if you look at the macro headwinds today, while we feel really good about things and we're looking at our leading indicators and it all looks really positive, I just think, you know, it's really prudent today to have a couple different plans of growth, just to be prepared for what's out there externally that has nothing to do with how, you know, things that your team can control. But just given the turbulence in the world right now, you really got to be prepared and have a couple different ways to go about it.
Any CEO who's interested in learning more about Key Factor, what's the website?
It's just keyfactor.com, KeyFactor.com.
I could have almost guessed that. Well, a pleasure, Jordan, having you on the CEO show, and much success in the future, especially because a lot of these enterprises are depending on you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.